Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by Orange County's only Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, with the only man I know who could tackle this job and do it well.
I think there's quite a few to this job.
Welcome, Reuben.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for being on. Thanks for everybody joining us today for our community podcast, where we get to share our community with your community. We're very fortunate to be able to do this every Wednesday at 12, and we have a great guest, Yanitza Munoz, who's one of our members of our chamber. She's a broadcast journalist, worked for organizations like Telemundo, NBC, and others. She's going to tell us a little bit more about her background, and I'll let her start out the podcast by welcoming her, and then tell us a little bit more about what you've done in the broadcast journalism.
Of course. Hello, everyone. I'm Yanitza Munoz. Yes, so I am a broadcast journalist and entrepreneur. I've worked with various stations from KTLA, NBC, Telemundo, Estrella TV, the Christian Channel, which is now owned by EWTN, and many more other stations. And aside from that, I opened up my own media agency with the goal to spread more educational content. And so far, it's been good. And with that being said, now that everyone has a smartphone and so many people are glued to it and they're always watching content, but not a lot of it is really journalistic or educational or will even show you the truth behind a subject or a brand. So I decided to create new mindset content. You guys can go to my website, newmindsetcontent.com, where I only work with companies that have a mission that I believe in, whether it's a company in deals with mental health or deals with helping children with autism or people who need help struggling with any internal diseases. I love to work with pediatricians, psychologists, the list goes on. And I love to create podcasts for them where I have a specialist speak on the matter. And then we promote that just to educate the public. And I also do that for an array of brands, whether it's like Mint Insurance is one that I'm assisting with their marketing.
One of our members of one of our awardees.
Yes. And at the moment, they don't have a podcast yet, but we are working on their marketing. And I love what they do for the senior citizens of our community, those who are unfortunately very forgotten, and they really assist them on choosing the right Medicare plans. So that is why I created New Mindset Content, was just to give back to our community and help others.
That's great. We appreciate you being on. Last year, you were able to help us with our Estrella Awards, which is coming up on April 11th at the beautiful Disneyland Grand Ballroom, and you were interviewing some of our guests, some of our awardees. I think you interviewed me as well.
Yes, I
did. Thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. And it's nice to have a professional do some of that stuff for us at that event. It's a great event we're going to have. I think right now we're targeted to have over 750 people there. So it keeps growing. And it's an opportunity for us to reward some people who and recognize people who have done great work in our community. And we appreciate you being there
and happy to help.
Being part of that. So you've done some what is the kind of the most fun or the biggest celebrity you've ever interviewed?
The most fun I have is on red carpets when I get to do movie premieres. And why? Because I like to dress up. I'm a girly girl. And it's fun because I get to dress up and really interview some A-list celebrities. And they're a lot of fun to work with. Red carpets are not for the faint. They are a lot of work. You have to rush a lot of these questions. And sometimes these celebrities, they can get tired and they're just like been there all day doing junkets. Right. And then they do the red carpet. But there's so many celebrities I've worked with. David Henry is a really good one that I've worked with many times through EWTN. Mel Gibson, very cool guy. I know some journalists have not had great experience with him. I've had a great one. He was very knowledgeable and took his time to speak with me. Kris Jenner, also a sweetheart. When I've interviewed her, I didn't know if she was going to just only answer one question. Sometimes you're pressed on time and it's just one question, that's it. But she actually wanted more from me. And so I literally asked her like five questions and she was cool. And her PR obviously was, okay, move on. But she was like, no, I want to talk to her. So I respect her for that. Thank you, Kris Jenner. And so the list goes on. I also love, aside from that, because that's just fun stuff to do. But what really fulfills me is knowing that I've helped people. I'm not trying to sound cheesy in saying that, but I do feel like the time that we are living in, there's a lot of people that unfortunately cannot voice what they want to say. And so for me, trying my best to help them any way I can, that fulfills me more. Like when I have a podcast where we have a therapist on there speaking about an issue with someone else, and we upload that to YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, just knowing that people respond in the comments saying, wow, this helped me. Oh, I needed this today. That's what I really enjoy the most, aside from the glitz and glamour.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So David Henry, who was on Wizards of Waverly Place with Selena, right?
Yes, okay. With Selena Gomez.
Okay, we got to meet David and Selena.
Such a down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, him and I met his mom, too, as well. Years ago when they were filming that, we got to go see a taping of it, and they were very nice.
I've interviewed Selena Gomez, too, many years ago.
Yeah.
Only because I've been doing this for a long time.
Okay.
But
how long have you been doing it?
I'm not trying to date myself, but I've been doing this since 2010.
Oh, so, wow,
I graduated from college from Loyola Marymount University 2012. So I started interning earlier before then for Spectrum News. At the time, it was called Time Warner. Now it's Spectrum. But I was doing correspondent work, also working behind the scenes. And there was just so much that I learned over the time. But yeah, I believe when I interviewed Selena Gomez, I cannot recall the name of the film, but this was probably back in 2013, maybe, when I interviewed her, a little bit before. But I've interviewed a lot of people throughout the years. Wow. I'm still very young, I hope.
Loyola Marymount, before we moved down to Orange County 24 years ago, we lived by Loyola Marymount. We lived on Fordham by the university, and my wife was on staff at Loyola Marymount. So it goes back, go back a ways.
Nice.
Loyola Marymount, over 24 years ago. But yeah, that's great. And so you got your education from Loyola Marymount. And then what did you do after school? How did you get into the path you're at today?
So I got to where I am today starting as an intern at Time Warner, which is now Spectrum, and then working my way up. So then I was at Estrella TV because I'm fluent in Spanish. And then I just kept sending out my resume, referrals. Then when I finally got to KTLA just as their helicopter journalist, KTLA Sky 5, that was a referral from a friend of mine at NBC, who's also their helicopter journalist. And that's how I was able to do that. And then after that, I also worked a little bit with Garden Grove TV, Lakewood City TV. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I still just jump around whenever there's an opportunity through my network of other journalists and producers. With EWTN, they needed a bilingual journalist. So that was another referral. And that's how I was able to stay busy. It is still a very competitive industry.
Right.
And that's another reason why I opened my own media agency, because I wanted to create more opportunities for myself. And not to say that I wasn't blessed with my past opportunities, but I saw that there's just so much more I could do when I wasn't working. Sometimes I would work Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and then the next 2 weeks, it was slow. So I was like, I need to do something to keep going because I want to. And I love production, producing. I've always been really into journalism. It's been a passion of mine since I was a little girl. So that's exactly what I wanted to pursue. As for a graduate degree, I'm still looking into that, only because why not? Marketing and journalism alike are changing so much with AI. So maybe there's more I can learn, but I want to make sure whatever I choose to do will definitely benefit me in the future as AI takes on so many roles.
What are your thoughts on the media landscape? Obviously, we just saw, you mentioned KTLA. We saw some layoffs of some longtime on-air talent that had been there for a while. And from what I've read, a lot of the younger people demographically don't get their news sources from traditional news sources, right? So they don't go watch, like Paul and I, we were going to watch the 10 or 11 o'clock news if we could stay up that late. And we're used to that. Right. But our younger, like my son and my daughter and my admin and others that are younger, under 30, they don't get their news that way. They don't watch the 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock news. So what I've read is that seems to be waning. And that's one of the reasons why there's some cutbacks. Right. They're looking at ad revenue. They're looking at demographics.
Yes.
They're looking at those type of things. What are your kind of thoughts on where we're going?
Unfortunately, yes, cable is dying. And now with all these subscription-based channels like Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, the list goes on. Everyone has $30 here and there, comes out of their bank account for one of these subscription platforms.
Sure.
For example, I'm a millennial, so I watch my news on YouTube TV, which is another subscription, right? So I watch KTLA or other news channels on there. But I feel like us millennials are the ones that are just the kind of the last ones to really enjoy some type of normalcy before all this AI stuff and social media. Social media was popular when I was in high school with MySpace, but now look at it where it is. Now there's just so many different platforms and variations of it. So what I've noticed, it's unfortunate. Yes, there's been a lot of layoffs because there's not a lot of money in advertising anymore. And that's how these stations make money, is through advertisers. And when people aren't watching, the advertisers see the numbers, they're not interested anymore. So they want to put their money somewhere else, usually with influencers on social media and or on ad campaigns on Google, etc. So that's unfortunate. So they're letting a lot of people go. But I have noticed the adaption to social media. So now there'll be like news reporters doing feeds. Hello, everyone. I'm here off the 405 and there seems to be northbound an accident, et cetera, et cetera. So they will do some type of feed and post that and they'll see, wow, this just got millions of views versus what we got in the first 5 minutes on cable or YouTube TV streaming platforms.
So that's a self-reporting feed that they did themselves without even a cameraman?
With their iPhones or any type of smartphone, Android or iPhone. And then they edit it on, they just edit it themselves and they get it approved with the station. Okay. And then the station, if it's approved, then they'll upload it to their social media. So it's just social media reporting in a sense. But I think that's smart because they're really trying to stay afloat with where the market is going. So unfortunately, that's the truth. Now with AI, there's so many different ways people get their brands or news or whatever type of video content out there. There's podcasting. There's now with all the political stuff, the crazy stuff going on in the world, there's a lot of influencers that are like the new news reporter. They have millions of subscribers on their own. They just record themselves on their smartphone. They edit it on CapCut and or on Reels, and they just upload themselves and they get thousands of comments. And so not to say that what they're saying is 100% legitimate. Some of them actually act like real journalists. Some were real journalists, mm-hmm. and maybe they got burnt out and now they're just doing it on their own through social media. Because to be a journalist, you definitely, to do it right, you have to make sure what you're reporting on has truth. So you don't want to be too biased and just be, this is my way and the highway. You don't want to report like that because that is not true journalism. You can't be biased. And if you are going to state something, try to use a credible source, a quote from a credible source or a testimonial of somebody that was there at the crime, a scene of the crime, testimony or anything. But long story short, that's real journalism. You can't be biased. You have to really make sure what you're reporting on is truthful. And sometimes with social media, these social media journalists, some do that and some don't. So just be careful what you consume on the internet, everyone.
That's right. Is there anyone out there that you admire or look up to as far as that's a current journalist
that is specifically from a few Latin channels, and she just left my mind. She's from Univision, and I grew up watching her with my mother, and her name just left my mind right now. On my Instagram story, I will post about her story.
Okay.
You guys go to my Instagram, at Yanitza Munoz. I just forgot her name. But I loved her so much because she became a journalist at a time in where she's a female, and she just really wanted to be seen as like a boss lady. And so I feel like at her time in the 70s and 80s, it was something that was coming out, like women wanted to be in leadership roles. Now it's more common than then. So I admire her for everything she's done. And she also took on a lot of serious news stories. Sometimes in Latin America, when you talk about certain subjects, you have to be very careful. And she definitely dove into those subjects like she didn't care. So I thought that was really cool of her.
Okay. Where do you see media going? You have obviously podcasting, which we're on right now, right? You have traditional television, you have streaming, where is media going today? You see the disruption in like print media too, right? With the Washington Post struggling, even the LA Times and others that have more money and have billionaires behind them still struggling. So where do you kind of see the whole media landscape going?
I see AI taking over a lot of jobs in media. So right now there are still ghostwriters, but there could be where they just use more AI than people, even though people, we have more credibility when it comes to making sure there's emotion or some type of realistic communication. I think we can all agree sometimes when we read something, we can tell that it's overly polished or it sounds very ChatGPT. But who knows, maybe in the next 5-10 years, these humanoid types of platforms will sound very human. So I unfortunately think that AI will dominate a lot of the workforce, and even when it comes to videos. So for example, your kids have probably seen this too, where there's these influencers who can really generate a real avatar with a little bit of wrinkles and clear, because sometimes when you see an AI video, it looks like a cartoon. So I'm like, okay, that's fake, overly filtered. But now the AI has gotten so good that it does look like a real person. So that's the bad thing. Some people are going to use that as leverage. So let's say it's a podcaster, and let's say she is a mom, a stay-at-home mom, but really wants to make an income, but she doesn't want to do her hair and makeup. But with these AI avatars and filters, she can just upload this app, turn it on, and put makeup and do her hair through the app. And that's what some influencers are posting about. They're like, you can make money X, Y, and Z and not do your hair and makeup. So that might be good for them. But at the end of the day, it's like, how far are we going to go to where things just get so fake and out of control? But unfortunately, I don't think media and marketing is heading towards the right path. Who knows? Maybe some attorneys will jump in and put some laws in place to protect us. So only time will tell.
Interesting. And we have a lot of young people that we are able to tutor through our youth chamber program. If you were advising somebody that's in high school or college right now looking to get into journalism, what would your advice be to them?
If they are looking into getting into journalism, be open-minded with AI, and also be open-minded with the ever-changing world that we are in with journalism and media. And if you are going to be open-minded with that and just work through it, then you will be successful, because I do believe that people will like authentic content. Think of it like when you call a place for customer service. Doesn't it bother you when a robot answers the phone and you just hit zero on it, keep hitting zero until you hear a human?
It bothers me all the time.
Yes. So there's that aspect. I do think that people will prefer knowing that it's a real person behind the screen. Right. Secondly, just make sure everything that you record, whether you write or record, is true to journalism, to journalistic standards. So make sure that you source it correctly. If you have quotes, make sure that's sourced correctly, etc. Because you don't want to be labeled as a journalist that is not doing their due diligence and just being biased. And when you are labeled like that, then you can end up being like one of those, not to talk bad about anyone, but like those clickbait podcasters or a clickbait type of person. And you don't want to be labeled like that as a journalist. You want to show that you are educated and you have sources for what you're posting on. And that really shows the educational side of why journalism was created. Think of it like when you're in school and you're learning a subject and the teacher's really trying to explain to you the subject with sources. That is how journalism is and should contain still be.
Okay. You mentioned earlier educational podcasts that you're working on with your agency and other things. Kind of explain a little bit more about Be Well and the autism aspect of what you're doing and how it's beneficial, it sounds to me, of our entire community. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. So I was working with ABA Centers of America, and I built their podcast at the time, and I was doing a lot of their bookings and PR for their podcast. What I really admire about ABA Centers of America is that they support families who have loved ones or children with autism that are on the spectrum. I decided to help them grow through visual media like videos and podcasts and testimonials. So I was able to book an array of celebrities who have children with autism to speak with Dr. Bender, who's a renowned psychologist, about their experiences and the do's and don'ts of parenthood with a child on the spectrum. So we would have, I'll show you who they are at the moment. I have their Insta, when I posted, all their Instagrams are on my new mindset content, which you can go on Instagram as well. Very touching stories. Aside from that, with Beam Network was the same thing. We would have Dr. Bender exactly speak with celebrities who suffered from mental health issues, whether it was they were in recovery from alcoholism or they were in recovery from other issues. But what was just so important for people to really understand that they needed to voice what they had going on, and then people would relate to the content. We had people from John Sally. I've had Tony Hawk, and I'm just reading this from my Instagram because I'm not trying to sound like, how do I say this, conceited or anything, but I booked a lot of celebrities. So I sometimes forget how many there were. So Joe Montaigne, very powerful guy, as you can see in this picture. So Joe Montaigne openly speaks about his daughter who has autism. His daughter is around my age. She's in her 30s. And he, you know, touched down from the beginning she was born, from her diagnosis, all the way up to her adult life. And he's an amazing man, amazing father. And he always made his daughter feel like nothing was wrong, that everything's good. And his daughter is, she works and she's functional and she's independent. So he did a great job. And that's what ABA Centers does. It teaches people to be independent. It doesn't matter if, you know, that they're on the spectrum. It really helps them become independent and live in this crazy world, right? So that's what New Mindset Content does. I have an array of clients. A lot of people ask me, is there a reason why you worked with ABA? Is there a reason why you worked with Be Well? Has any of this been personal to you? Not necessarily. I yes and no. So my brother, Oliver Munoz, he is a film director, and he had a movie about autism that touched me. When I learned about ABA Centers, I was like, I would love to take on this client. The Be Well Network used to be Sheer Recovery, then was Be Well Network, bought them. And so that was something that I just really thought, again, helping others. I hope to keep doing it. Maybe one day work with the Alzheimer's Association. That would be a dream of mine. Mm. My father, unfortunately, had dementia. And so that would be something that would be touching to me to work with that company. So hopefully that'll be my next goal, to reach out to them. And aside to that, I'm always open to have people reach out to me. I love to help companies grow. So like for Mint Insurance, Mint Health Insurance Agency to be exact, I love that they are definitely helping our community understand and guide them to what Medicare is and what exactly they need from Medicare. And they also speak Spanish, so they help the Latino community, which is very important because I was Latino. Sometimes, nunca quiero ir al doctor. Estoy bien. ¿Por qué voy a ir al doctor? Like, they never want to go to the doctor. They ni quieren seguranza. And they're like, no, you need insurance, especially here. So I really love how they educate the community. So nonetheless, whoever's interested and has a company that you think we would be aligned, I would love to help. And that is why I created New Mindset Content.
Oh, interesting. We help a lot of businesses get started. Mm-hmm. We help people get financing for their businesses and stuff. What suggestions do you have for small businesses using media? How can they help their businesses?
They need it.
Through media.
100%, trillion percent. I know I brought up the whole AI stuff. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but use it as your leverage. Use social media as your leverage. Whether you're a journalist or a business owner like myself, don't be shy. Post as much as you can. Now with all these scheduling apps, Meta now has their own scheduling system. You can go on Facebook, go on Meta, schedule your posts Monday through Friday. Look at what time people are on their smartphones. Leverage social media, leverage AI in that aspect, and use it for good. Don't use it for bad, use it for good. So if you're a company that really wants to help people and you also want to help your family and grow a legacy and have financial stability, et cetera, use AI. For marketing, unfortunately, you do need an ad spend to promote your brand. It is what it is in this world. It is a pay-to-play world when it comes to social media marketing and other aspects of marketing. So you do need to save some money for whoever is managing your marketing and save money for the ad spend behind your marketing. A great example is when I interviewed Kris Jenner for a third-party company. I remember when they uploaded it to YouTube, it didn't get a lot of views, even though it's Kris Jenner. And I explained to them they need to have an ad spend and understand where the keywords are and how to really get it to show on people's algorithms. And once they did that, then we started getting some traction. So keep that in mind, guys. Doesn't matter if you have Kris Jenner in your video. You really should have an ad spend. And yes, you hear stories of content going viral, but it doesn't happen that often. And maybe it happens because you put an ad spend and then people started resharing and resharing it. There's a whole system behind this. Mm. And it is tedious. And what makes it even more tedious is that it's ever changing. Just like how our smartphones update all the time, all these apps update with new things. So as long as you're up to date with all of this, You'll be successful. Don't be shy. Post, especially if you're a small business owner. If not, your competitors are just going to pass you by doing all these posts that you're not.
What platforms are you spending ads on? What are you using ads for?
Depends on your demographic. So I always tell my client, depends on your demographic. If your demographic is someone like millennials and up, then, you know, Instagram, Facebook. If your demographic is very young, then TikTok, Instagram. Doesn't matter how old you are, always do YouTube because everyone's on YouTube now. I even use YouTube TV to watch the news instead of using cable.
That's the paid YouTube.
Yes, unfortunately, it's paid. Okay. But even with YouTube, the free version of it, I also use the free version. I used it this morning because I was just curious on different like workouts. And summer's around the corner. I was like, oh, let me look up this. It's just an easy Google and all this stuff that pops up. And then there's now the reels and there's so much content.
Right.
So YouTube 100%. Doesn't matter if you're advertising to teenagers or to seniors. YouTube 100%. As for younger folk, I would say TikTok, Instagram. But with Facebook is very important because that's usually the clients that have money in a sense of maybe they will go to your restaurant and pay for the family dinner of five or six, or they will sign up with your services at Bob Smith Tires. Mm-hmm. So you want to really make sure where you're putting your ad spend makes sense. And that's what I do with my clients. I really sit down with them and we analyze what is not working, if they've tried other stuff, and what we can make work. If they're starting from ground zero, that's even better because then I can really clean up anything that, or not really clean up anything, start everything from start, and then I don't have to clean up anything. But yes, post, marketing is king. Doesn't matter if AI didn't exist or is here and growing. At the end of the day, think of it as like before AI and before social media. Like people paid so much money for billboards and paper magazine.
Right.
That's all marketing. So people have to save money and use that money of their business. What I mean by save money is you open your business, have money aside for marketing. That's what I meant. And then just use it so that you can get the phone to ring.
That's awesome. Thanks for that input. Like I said, we help businesses, like we help over 800 businesses a year, and then more, like over 10,000 in our network of what we get to do. And that's exciting, but small businesses don't have the resources
that
bigger businesses do. So that counsel is very good. I know we're butting up against our time. I can't believe it. What are some of the exciting things you have going on that are coming up and that you want to share
of course.
With our audience?
Coming up, we have the Estrella Awards,
right?
April 11th. I know that you guys probably already have 500 people already attending or more.
750.
Yeah, yeah. But whoever does not have a ticket yet, and if there's still tickets, go to the website of the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And maybe get a ticket if you really want to go and network and meet inspirational business owners here in our community. So that's what I have going on April 11th. Aside from that, I've just been really busy growing my company. Also, there's just so many things
so
that pop up.
If people want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
So if you want to get a hold of me, you can go to my website, newmindsetcontent.com. That's the best way. And or you can always DM me on social media, Yanitza Munoz, spelled Y-E-N-I-T-Z-A, Munoz, M-U-N-O-Z. That is the best way at the moment to get a hold of me, preferably on my website. Aside from that, a lot of times, as I mentioned, as a news correspondent for red carpets, you'll be surprised. I'll get a call last minute. Hey, it'll be like Friday at 5 p.m. And they'll say, hey, do you want to do a red carpet today? and it's tough because I live in Orange County and
right.
I'm like, okay, can I make it? Can I make it? Traffic. Sometimes I will make it if it's something where, for whatever reason, I look at my phone and I'm like, okay, I can be there in a solid hour and whatever it is and I make it. Or, hey, next day, Saturday,
sure.
Can you be in Hollywood by 3 p.m.? Sure, that gives me enough time. I always have a lot of outfits on standby. Shout out to one of my friends, Styled by Ma. I always tag her on my Instagram. And that is my life. So my life is a journalist and entrepreneur. And we'll see where my career goes. I love what I do. If I do add a graduate degree, it'll only be to make my career better. I'll still be doing what I am now, but just enhance it.
Sounds good. We appreciate you being on. We appreciate you being part of the Orange County Hispanic Chamber, and we look forward to seeing you on April 11th with everybody else, with 750 other people as well. So
yes, everyone, also go on all of our social medias, especially the Chamber of Commerce, and you get to see a lot of cool behind the scenes.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Adios. Adios. Bye-bye.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.